Gracious God, as your faithful people, you continually call us out from the comfort of our time together to serve you in the world. You call us in a variety of ways. You call us into circumstances we never anticipated. But thankfully, the faith that we need for all of the things to which you call us, you offer us freely. Continue to give us faith, O God, to serve you well. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So some of you I know have had a chance to chat with John Ball over the summer, who has volunteered to help us move to the future here at St. John's. And John and I have had a few chats as well over the summer, and I've been visiting with some of you, and sometimes the future of the church has come up. It's certainly a hot topic these days among other area churches, many of whom are beginning a search process for a new minister. And one of the things on all of our minds is how we should market ourselves. What's the best way to brand ourselves, obviously, to encourage others to get on board? Well, I did some playing around with that this week, and I've come up with some phrases I think are kind of catchy that we might want to use. How about, join us at St. John's and be prepared to fight. This isn't going to be easy. I thought that one was pretty good. Or maybe something like, it's an evil world out there, so join us and find out all you need to stand up against the devil. I think those are pretty catchy. I think they might draw some people in. I have to say, this closing chapter of the letter to the Ephesians is, well, it's almost enough to put anybody off organized religion, isn't it? No one really wants to hear, when they think about coming to church, that it's all about a struggle between good and evil, between life and death. But essentially, it was. For the early Christians who were daring enough to wear their faith on their sleeves, so to speak. Thankfully, persecution, torture, and death are not common side effects, at least in our world, our part of the world, when we share our faith today. But you know, when your faith becomes an integral part of your daily life, it can certainly have pretty interesting repercussions. I don't know, I find it pretty hard for me to hide what I do for a living, and I'm sure Kim can identify with this. Someone on my street, when I moved there 7 years ago, knew somebody from my last church. So before my boxes were even unpacked, word had spread there's a minister on the street. Being found out is a scenario that has played out over and over again in my life. Like wedding receptions, where I get seated beside the drunken uncle who wants to tell me why he hasn't been to church in 25 years. Or a backyard barbecue where I just want to talk to people about, I don't know, maybe what books they've read or where they've traveled recently or what music they listen to. And all of a sudden, they're telling me why they have no use for the established church. I've been told all about the clerk's marriage troubles when she sees Reverend written on my MasterCard, when all I want to do is pay for my gas and get out of there. I've been the brunt of more stupid, and I really do mean stupid, jokes about ministers and how, well, we just spend all of our time in prayer. I had a functionary in a government office in Quebec tell me he had never had a priest apply for maternity leave before. Ha. You name it. As ministers, we've been privy to every embarrassing, uncomfortable, stupid situation because of what we do for a living. But you know what? Actually, as I age, I'm becoming more and more proud to tell people what I do and to tell people that I do it here at St. John's. You know, as we look around our world today, whether we call this a post-Christendom world or a neo-secular era or whatever term you want to use, it isn't necessarily popular today to admit your allegiance to Jesus Christ openly. I have no choice. Kim has no choice. But the rest of you, I guess, do. You can slip into your pew here each week and recharge your spiritual batteries, and you can go back out into the world to do whatever it is you do out there. And there is no need, really, for anyone to know you've been here. You could spend your whole life as a closet Christian, and maybe some of you have and do. No judgment passed. It's not uncommon. I've been thinking, actually, a lot about our young people this summer, as some of you here today have spent your summer at camp nurturing and being nurtured in the faith and hauling kids out from underneath cabins and cleaning up barf and dealing with lice and all kinds of other things. It's a very special experience, not doing all of that maybe, but to have spent time together enfolded by others who share your faith. I always think it's sort of like weeks of unending church, but with music that you like better, I know. But then you face the dilemma as you go back to school, or maybe off to university for the first time, and the big question is, what are you going to do with your faith for the next 10 or 11 months when you're back in the real world without all of your friends in the faith right by your side? That's the question you face, and that's the question we all face as followers of Jesus Christ, because our reading today reminds us that it's all about leaving the comfort of this place where we all share similar values to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ out into a hurting world, out into the darkness where our light needs to shine brightly. Outreach is not a choice. It's not a choice. It's our mandate. I have new neighbors across the street, and I know that's not a big deal. People come and go all the time. But I think this time it's going to be a really, really good match. If nothing else, she's Francophone and she has a one-year-old. So that's going to be how my grandson learns to speak French. Not that she needs to know I have a plan yet for our relationship. We're going to have a glass of wine when they're back from vacation to get to know each other. And I just have a feeling it's all going to be great. Until that moment when they ask what I do for a living. And then things will get really awkward for a bit, and they'll start watching their language around me. But she's already told me she's spiritual, but not really religious, which leads me to believe that maybe some neighbor has already told her to be careful because I'm a minister. Or maybe she's seen me as I have made the mad dash to my car with my collar on, hoping I won't get caught. But you know what? The truth will eventually be revealed if it hasn't been already. And as always, we'll work out some kind of relationship. Maybe in spite of, but you know what? Maybe because of my faith. And I always hope that somehow, despite the fact that I am totally human and all that, that's still maybe the light of Jesus Christ will shine through something I say or something I do. We'll try to come up with something a little more life-giving than that last chapter of Ephesians when we're reaching out to the community around us over the next little while. But we should never lose sight of the fact that we are called to live with integrity. Thankfully, the rebuke we face when we out ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, whether it's out there in the community, in the workplace, at university, at school, thankfully, the rebuke we face is pretty mild in comparison with our ancestors in the faith. Oh, always. Guaranteed, we'll have to endure some silly comments about Christians and some silly, stupid comments about the establishment. People will feel obliged to dredge up some explanation for their own lack of commitment to what we hold dear. But you know what? As you young people already know, the rewards of being faithful to the one we follow can be pretty awesome and profound. When our moderator summed up his remarks in his post-election interview, he talked about all we do in the church being in preparation for getting out there into the world to being God's agents of love and grace. Outreach is not an option that some choose while others don't. It is what we all are called to do as people of faith. We come here to be nourished simply in preparation to get back out there into the world. So let's remember that as we plan for our future, let's remember as we give money for the work of this church, and let's remember that as we make financial decisions about how we spend the amazing trust we have been given here for our future. Thanks be to God for the awesome opportunity to serve in the name of Jesus Christ and for all of the good and amazing gifts we are given to enable us to serve with courage and with hope.